Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate. A podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Cambucos.
Okay, welcome everybody to the KP Podcast. I'm Pete. I'm here with our co-host Keith. We're coming to you from the KP Studios here at the Forum. And today we are welcoming in our guest, John Glutch from the Glutch Group. Welcome, John. How are you?
Hey, what's happening? Good to be here with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Good to have you. Good to have you. And John is going to talk today. We're going to talk with him. He's got an interesting situation, as we've talked about with teams and things before. And John runs a large team in two different states. Yeah. Which is definitely a little bit different for what we're talking about.
It's a very different, interesting dynamic that I think a lot of leaders are always curious about. And that's why I'm super excited about today, because when you start growing a team or you start growing a business, the thought is always going to come up where, okay, what does expansion look like? How big can I take this? What does that dynamic look like? So today we're going to go in through, I would say, a lot of the weeds in that growth and that move and just what that looks like. Long-term, short-term, to just kind of fill that for everybody and have everybody kind of understand that process.
So John, I would say, let's jump into it, man. Let's have you just tell the listeners a little bit just about yourself and your team so they kind of get to know where you're coming from.
Yeah. So I, like you guys said, am from Arizona. And so I've built a team out there. We started in around 2011. I had been in real estate for several years before that, but really started like residential retail sales around 2011. And originally it was just me. And I started, as we grew, you know, started kind of hiring people, and there's a whole, you know, process, ups and downs, you know, swings and misses and that thing, but started growing right around there and got really started taking off around 2014, 2015, somewhere in there, and did a couple things right and had some good luck and really started growing. And we got the team up to about 60 or 70 million, around 2 million a year in commissions. And right around that time, my wife and I had always loved San Diego. We just loved the weather. We would always go visit there. And so we just started taking longer and longer trips. You know, we'd be gone for a week and then a couple weeks and then a month. And, you know, like next thing you know, it's like, hey, maybe we could move here, because it was working, right? I had worked my way out of most of the jobs that required me to be in Phoenix.
Right.
And so we said, hey, let's give it a shot. So we moved to Coronado Island and rented a house out there. Just fell in love with San Diego. About a year into it, figured like, hey, this is working. Like, I think we can actually do this. So we bought a house, and now it's 3 years later. So it's been a total of 4 years. We've been in San Diego running the team. And I had no intention of starting a team in San Diego. I was plenty busy with my Phoenix team, but honestly, just started to get a little lonely, like being on Zoom, like this whole Zoom thing. This has been my life for 4 years. Like, this is not new.
Yeah.
You know? So you were used to it pre-pandemic. Came in rolling already.
He was this was easy. Keep it going.
Yeah. And we have six team members overseas, two in India and three in India and four in the Philippines. And so, we're really used to this. But I was missing meeting with people. I was missing, you know, lunches and happy hours. All that. This stuff I really like. You know,
interaction, social. Sure.
Yeah. So I finally felt like, all right, it's time to start the team. And I had considered a switch to eXp Realty, which allowed me to do that without actually getting a real estate license. I could start a team out here. And so I'm not licensed in San Diego or California, but I still run a team out here. And so I started that 7 months ago, and that team's doing great. We're up to six agents now, and they'll do, I don't know, 30 million or so this year too. So our first year, which is pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, no, congrats on all that growth. That's really cool. And for all the listeners out there, just so they get an idea, we're sitting here in Phoenix today, and it's, I don't know, 150 degrees or so. And maybe John, 200. Who's obviously the smart one in the group over here. John, what's the weather like over there?
It's 80 degrees every day.
80 degrees, proximity to the ocean. So I don't blame you, man. That's an awesome move. So you talked about, you know, the fact that you're not licensed in San Diego and you've got the team over there, which was definitely a draw for you. And I see the eXp Realty, you know, sign, the logo back there behind you. So talk to us a little bit more about that. Was that a primary driver for you? Were there other reasons, or what totally, you know, about that thing brought you over to eXp?
Yeah, you know what's interesting, and thanks to my wife for making all these. We just built our new house, and I needed a wall for videos, you know. Congrats. And she had this idea to get a 3D printer to make all my logos for me. So she did a great job with that. And you know, it's funny. I had plateaued. I was talking about this earlier today. Like, my team had done around 2.25 million in commissions, 2 million for like 3 years, which is, don't get me wrong, that's a big number. I was happy with that, but it felt like something was up. Like, what was going on? Why was I plateauing? Yeah. And part of it, honestly, is I was looking around at my brokerage and I was the top producer. And I just really have always believed that getting around the right people makes a big difference. Like, if there's nobody around you who's ahead of you, it makes it more difficult. And so there were a couple agents who had moved to eXp who were doing literally 5 times my business. So you're doing like 10 million in commissions a year. And so I started to pay attention. And Jen Wehner, who initially introduced me to eXp, I used to outsell her. Like, I was in masterminds and she's asking me questions, you know, and she got way ahead of me. And I'm like, what in the world is happening? You know? So I started asking those questions and I got introduced to eXp that way. I got introduced to some really big players who were really willing to help and encourage and share their ideas with me and stuff, invited me to some events. And I was like, dang, if these people are part of this, like, I just want to go where the big hitters are. So that was the initial thought, was like, how do I get around, you know, people like you guys doing, you got 100 people on your team. Like, I got a lot to learn from you, you know? So that was what drew me initially. But then the idea that I could also start a team anytime I wanted and not have to have a license here, that's really unique. I mean, there aren't many places, I don't know of any other brokerage you can do that. So, and we are, like, commission cap is shared across states. So I don't have to pay 2 caps, you know. Yeah. It's a really cool model. And what's incredible is, like, I joined, you know, it took me like a year to get moved over and to make my final decision, but I really only joined 8 months ago. And we're crushing our numbers from last year. I think we'll add $1 million to the top line this year, which is insane. To go from 2 to 3 after you plateaued for 3 years is, I mean, I don't know what else to attribute it to. I really believe that a lot of it is because the people I'm around are just teaching me to think big things. You know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, and we can totally relate to what you're talking about over there, because we had in our past similar situation, you know, where Keith and I had been at a smaller brokerage. We were the same thing. We were the top producers over there, and we're like, this is it. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't feel like we were doing anything. But once you get around people that are doing big things, then it's just like you said, you know, you kind of get brought up, you know. Success breeds success, and iron sharpens iron. It's awesome.
You got to remember, sales, it's a competitive nature no matter what we do. It just is. It's just in the blood of sales. And so I always compare it to like a sprint. If you're running a race and you're winning the race, what is motivating you to run even faster? Like, it doesn't make sense. You're looking back at the people behind you. You're going to get first. But what's pushing you to get, you know, better and get stronger and get faster other than loss or failure? So when you're losing the race, every year you wake up, or every day you wake up, and you're trying to get better, to perform better, to outperform them. And so it's just huge.
Yeah. This idea I've always known this, and Darren Hardy, who's a mentor of mine, has talked about this for years. This Harvard did this very comprehensive study on what are the key drivers of happiness for human beings. And the number one thing they came up with was who you associate with. Like, that's the number one driver of whether it's happiness or success, is who you surround yourself with. So I've always known that, but I really like CrossFit. I like to go to CrossFit every day. It's my favorite like workout deal. And I like to watch the competitions, all the guys who really, gals who really crush it. And 2 years ago, this thing started happening where it's an individual sport, right? Individual competitors. And they all started moving to the same towns to work out with their competitors, because they knew if they weren't next to somebody, they were the best in Boston or the best in Philly or wherever they were.
Yeah.
But the guy over there who in Kentucky, who was crushing them, is like, I'm moving where that guy is. And that guy, even though he was number one, let them be a part of his gym and join it, because he knew he would get better because the number two guy was next to him every day. And the level of sport is, I mean, it's crazy how much that sport has grown. And I was like, dang, if these people who literally their livelihood depends on beating the guy next to them, that's not true with me. It's not a zero sum game in real estate. Just because you sold 100 houses doesn't mean I can't, but in theirs is a zero sum game. And they still did that. And I was like, okay, this is the key right here. You know, like we're talking a lot about this, but I really don't know that there's a better, more important driver for the success of a real estate agent than who you surround yourself with. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And then, like you said, you throw in some of those uniques, you know, as far as being able to expand through multiple states, you know, the flexibility that it gives you as a team leader and things like that. And so, I mean, let's talk a little bit about that part. So, you know, you've got the team rolling here in Phoenix. Like you said, you guys are spending a lot of time, your family out in California and San Diego. And, you know, you saw that opportunity where it's like we talk about, you know, at the end of the day, we all do this business for other reasons. You know, we've got family, we've got the life to live, and it's got to be worth it. And for you, you know, that was important. You guys loved being there. And so you saw that opportunity to be able to kind of do that for you and your family. So talk to us a little bit about what did that process start to look like? What was that expansion? What were some of these challenges? You know, how did you even get started, you know, going into this place, not licensed in this state, and kind of getting things going there?
Yeah. Again, it's like I had a mentor in the Craig Proctor coaching program who, Warren Flax is his name. He was on the East Coast, incredible guy, Wharton MBA. And he had started going to Quito, Ecuador for large periods of time because his wife was from there and his team was running. And I'm like, dang, dude, that's the guy I want to be my coach because I knew I wanted to do this. And so he really started to kind of help coach me through this and whatever. And the thing I always tell people is just take longer trips if you want to really build your business, even if you're not going to move. You know, just take longer time away from your company, start with a day and then, or a half day or whatever, and see what breaks, you know, like what didn't work, what failed, where did you lose a client? Where did somebody get upset? Where did a team member screw up, whatever? And then all of those are your to-do list for when you get back home of like, okay, next time I leave, that problem's not going to exist. I'm going to have that solved, you know? And so it was stuff like having virtual phone lines. So like it didn't work for me, my clients to have my cell phone, like my iPhone number, because I couldn't give that to anybody else. I couldn't hand that off, right? So we got RingCentral phone numbers and Google Voice phone numbers where literally I could take that number, turn it off and hand it to somebody else who could then, when clients called, the phone got answered, they got taken care of very well. They explained, okay, John's out of town, blah, blah, blah. So little system problems like that started to get solved. Mm-hmm. And also, a lot of it was mental. You have this idea in your head that your clients only want to work with you. And it's not true that you're not that awesome. You're not that great. It's like they want the result you've created. They want the process to go how you provided it for them in the past. And so part of it's just mental, like, oh, and trusting your team, you know, like Jeremy on our team does all our listings now. And, you know, his first couple of listings were because I was gone. And he crushed it, knocked it out of the park. And he's literally better than me now, like, but a lot. So just trusting your team and slowly creating systems to make it work so that you can be gone. And that's, even if you never move, that'll just make your company better. You know, you'll be a better business owner as you do that.
Yeah, man. I love that, John. I love that little, I even wrote that down. So you're taking those longer trips and see what breaks, man. I love that. That's a great way to, like you said, to see kind of, hey, what are my weak points right here? What are my challenges that I'm looking at? But, you know, and the other part, like you said, is that mental part we talk about all the time. And, you know, in this industry, a lot of people have a big ego that, you know, it's my name. I've got to be the one. And it's just, we say the exact same thing you did. It's like, man, the people want to see the results. They want to know how you're going to help me, you know, achieve my goal or solve my problem. And if you can make that happen, you know, you're just a piece of that. At the end of the day, they don't want to work with Pete or John or Keith. They want to see their results. And that's what we're all here trying to do. So that's cool.
Yeah. And now I'm a little frustrated because, John, you just told Pete to take longer trips is what I'm hearing now.
I'm out of here since we're done.
Pete's about to be gone for like 3 months now. And I'm going to be sitting back here trying to figure this thing out. That's what's going to end up happening. Thanks for that. I appreciate that. So I wanted to talk about a couple things with the actual growth of your team. So I'm very curious about this one thought is when you had your Phoenix team, everybody struggles in the first growth, right? Everybody struggles growing your first team because you don't know what you're doing, right? You don't know the best way to approach it. You don't know the best way to handle it. But when you grow a second team, if you will, out of state, it's kind of like your opportunity to do things better than you did the first time, right? So you get to tackle it at a whole different point of view of, I'm not going to make some of the same mistakes I made at the beginning, because we all make the mistakes at the beginning on the first one. So I'm curious, what was that growth of that second team like? How did you do things differently? What did you change accordingly, if you will?
Yeah, so There's a couple big ones that I adjusted. One was my team in Phoenix was built entirely on me being the lead generator. Okay. Every house we sold almost was generated by me, that lead, one way or another. Friends, family, referrals, marketing programs I had created, it's whatever. Some friends at eXp said, okay, you get to start over, dude. You don't want to start your team with your core proposition being you provide the leads. So how can you create a team where people would willingly pay you a split, a good split, you know, like a healthy split for me as a team leader, without you promising a single lead? And so I started with that premise. And what's great is we already had such a powerful team built up on the admin side. We had so many ideas and so much service, and we could really, you could bolt on a team. People could show up day one and they have an assistant who will help them manage their email and set up showings for them and blah, 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 right? Like all this stuff. And I also am very good at helping people generate their own business, repeat referral business, right? How do you take the 20 people you know or the 50 people you know and generate a lot of business out of that? Yeah. That was how I built my business in the beginning. So that was my value proposition, was one, you're going to get a team on day one, like all the admin stuff, all the stuff you're not good at, you don't want to do, we have people to do that for you. And I'm going to help you double your sphere business in the next year. That's my value proposition. I'm not going to give you a single lead. Now we do have leads, right? But that's all cherry on top. We don't promise that in the beginning. And that was the big fundamental difference in how I built the team out here, is we're not a lead. I'm not the lead generator. Now what's been really fun to see is it actually works. Like I was pretty sure it would work, you know, but you start bringing people on and it's like, oh dang, like these people are taking off. They're doubling their sales. They come over in the first week, they do 2-3 deals and they're like, I've never had 4 escrows before. It's like, all right, awesome. This is like the real thing. So that's a big part of it. I think the other part of it that I really shifted was me, because I'm not licensed here and I don't know what the contract says, none of that, right? So all that stuff, really, I've done a good job of funneling to the broker. So we have a lot of great broker support. So it's like, I'm a good negotiator. So if you're trying to save a deal, I'm the guy to call.
Yeah.
Right. But if you're like, how do I do this or whatever? Like, that's just wasted time that I shouldn't be spending. You're better off with a broker who knows it better than me anyways, you know? So I'm no longer the guy who figures out contract questions or any of that stuff. I'll help you save a deal. I'll help you negotiate a contract, whatever, stuff like that. But really, those two things have been big time savers and fundamental shifts in the business and in what we provide as our value proposition. So we've really changed the way we do that.
That's cool. I love that.
Yeah. And that totally makes sense. That's, you know, sometimes I think what you're talking about, like Keith and I will refer to kind of more of that rainmaker model that you had here in Phoenix, as opposed to more of the enterprise. You know, you started out with that business model there in San Diego, which is great. And so not being licensed there in San Diego and kind of going in with that different mindset about, you know, setting this up more from that business side without you personally generating those leads. What was it like at the beginning to try to, you know, for folks out there listening and thinking about expanding, well, if they're not licensed in another state, what is some of those initial conversations? Did you, you know, were there certain hurdles you had to overcome there? You know, did that come pretty easy, or were there differences, you know, being the fact that you weren't producing necessarily in that new state now?
Yeah. You know, I don't know how it would be if I had tried to start day one, like I didn't know anybody.
Yeah.
So I had been here 3 years. And people knew I was successful, right? It was like obvious. I had a nice house in Coronado and whatever. And like, I'm online doing my dance, right? So they knew I was good at this. And so I had made friends with agents who would just ask for help with stuff. And they were my buddies. So I'd help them. And they had several of them had said, if you ever start a team, I'm the first guy on the list, you know? So that part took some time, but I wasn't even necessarily trying to do it. So it was very easy. And those first couple of people who came on had great experiences and they shared it with their agent friends and whatever. So it was actually super, like we have more people than I can take on right now. Like recruiting is not a problem. So we're growing our capacity. Like we're getting systems built up and admin team built up to make sure we serve people. But if you bring on one or two people who have a lot of success, that makes it very easy because everyone wants to do what they did, right? So that part happened pretty organically for me. And again, I don't know if I was starting cold, I don't quite know how I would do it. But I think one thing that's also helpful to people is they know I'm not competing with them. Like I couldn't, yeah. like I couldn't, a $10 million, like Darren Hardy asked me to help him buy a house. And that was going to be a really nice house, sure. but I don't have a license.
It was, yeah.
You know, so that deal goes to somebody else, right? That's right. not my, I've got a friend who wants to buy a $5 million house out here. I'm not taking that lead. That goes to a team member. So yeah. I think that is a nice value proposition for people too, is they know that I'm never, ever competing with them, right? Yeah.
You're not cherry picking. You're not keeping the good stuff for yourself. You really, in essence, you need them to be successful because that's the only way you're going to have any success, which is a great place to be. So I love that. You know, what you're saying there totally makes sense because we talk about it all the time. You know, when people ask us about growing the team, it's similar to what you just said, which is the proof is in the pudding. You know, you can say a lot of things, but people seeing that you are already helping them or, you know, coaching them with certain things, or they're seeing your success that you're already having, people see that, and that speaks volumes. And so to me, that totally makes sense, as opposed to, like I said, going somewhere where you have no track record, you've got nothing, you don't know anybody. Yeah, it could definitely be a tough way to start out.
People have, I've learned this too, and I didn't know this because I'd never been on one. A lot of people are on crappy teams. Like they just are. They're on bad teams that don't help them much, that don't provide, and they don't know. Like, I hope there's people listening today who are like, they're inspired to look around because they don't really know how bad they have it, but they also have like something inside them that's like, I bet there's something better out there, you know? And like, So it wasn't hard to be better than other teams because so many were bad. Yep. Now there's a lot of growing incredible teams like yours. Which is awesome. I mean, I'm introducing people I am meeting to your guys' team. If I feel like they're a great fit, I've sent several people to interview with you guys because you're doing really good stuff. So that's cool. But there are so many bad ones. It's a big shift for a lot of people.
I think it has the same impact the other way around too, is when they do find a good team. Mm-hmm. I hope and encourage that they do open up their eyes to see, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry you have to be on a team like that, because they get to know and they get to see it. And that's, I think, a big part of what makes EXP's model really, really cool, because now on top of that, the agents on a team are now inspired to share with other people on other teams, hey, you don't have to stick around in something that isn't helping your business. It's actually hurting you sometimes. Come be a part of what we're doing. And now the agent on our team is also incentivized to just share the good news of what they're doing and how they're doing it. I think that's a super cool, product that we get to be a part of.
Yeah. So John, let me ask you now, with the teams being in different states and having those, do you kind of run those almost as two different teams, or is there spillover and connections between the two of them, you know, being in different states? How does that look?
Yeah, this is evolving. Like, this is new, right? So I'm figuring this out as I go. But what we've landed on so far is we have a once a month meeting with everybody in the whole company. So this is people in the Philippines, people in India, Arizona, everybody. And those are awesome. And we share like wins together, and we like share our wows, which is like everybody goes around and says one thing that somebody else on the team did for them that wowed them, was really special and cool. And we have our little rituals we do. We go over some of our core values. And we do that once a month with everybody. We used to do that every week, but it got to too much. It was too many people and it got a little overwhelming. So now we do that once a month. And then once a month, we have a sales meeting right after that meeting with the whole team. All the admin drop off and we keep our salespeople on. And then we share stuff that really is universal sales training, right? It's like Phoenix is similar to San Diego in that there's multiple offers on everything. How are you getting offers accepted? A lot of those issues are very similar. So we share different things on that meeting that would benefit people in Arizona and in Phoenix. And that's all on Zoom. And then we also have once a month in-person sales team meetings. So those are in Arizona and those are in-person, and that helps create community. And we talk about more team specific stuff that have to do with Arizona, that have to do with California, different specific things that we're up to. We also have happy hours once a month that people can invite people to, you know, because we're at EXP and we can, like, literally anybody can join the team one way or another, whether they're joining the Glutch Group or joining our crew at EXP. We invite a lot of people to that, and we just like have fun, create community. And those are really fun events. And we do those in Phoenix and in California once a month as well. And so that's kind of our rhythm. And I'm the leader. One of the things I screwed up on when I first left was I had two people in Arizona that was like, hey, you know, you guys are going to kind of take over the team and take over leadership of the team and whatever. And it was, it was good, except I abdicated some of my leadership as the founder and as the owner to them. And it was the wrong deal. Like, I still needed to be on the team meetings. I'm still the face of the company. I'm still the one who's most excited of everybody to be at the Glutch Group. And so I had retreated kind of too much from some of that and really got reengaged, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago. And now I'm like super involved as the leader and as the face of the company. That being said, those two guys, Brad and Jeremy, really do run my Phoenix team. And so they've really taken on a lot more responsibility and a lot more leadership. They run the sales team. They're helping implement new ideas. I mean, they run the team in Phoenix, and then I run the team out here. So in terms of management and direct leadership, they run the team, and I run the California team. But I'm still the leader, you know, just like, you know, to use a real extreme example, Richard Branson.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't manage probably anybody, but he's the face of the company. He's the leader. Like, he's the visionary. He's yeah. Everybody knows Virgin, whatever, you know, whether it's the airplanes or the records or whatever it is, he's the guy. Right. So that model for me is what I've tried to embrace. And that's been great. That's really worked out well for us.
Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. Cause like you said, you as the leader, I think you hit on it, and Richard Branson is a great example. He's got that vision, and like, you've got, you know, you started this and you've got a vision of kind of where it's going and what things are looking like. And I think that's important, because that's, you know, not everybody, you know, thinks that same way. And especially when you're kind of throwing that vision out and leading the way for it. So that's yeah. really cool. Hey,
what is that process look like? So now that you're in two different states, how often are you flying back and forth? Are you driving back every weekend? Is it something that you've really balanced that schedule? Because I can only imagine having a big producing team in Phoenix and now in San Diego, and everybody's requiring a lot of your time. So what does that in person for you specifically look like?
You know, I'm probably in Phoenix once a quarter, believe it or not. Okay. I'm not there very often. And so I'll fly in for usually events. Like, we just had a big EXP event in Scottsdale. I was there for that. And I'll pony, you know, tag team with some other Glutch Group stuff. Like, last time I was in Phoenix, I met three of my team members for the first time, you know, in cool. person, because I hadn't been there to hire them. Yeah. Right. So no, those guys really run the team. I mean, my team out there is incredible. A lot of self-motivated people. We really recruit, like we were talking about earlier, like, we have six people in Phoenix doing like $80 million in sales. So they're like real high producing agents.
Yeah.
And they're very awesome. Self-managed. They don't require a ton of my energy or time, and the stuff they need, Brad and Jeremy do a great job of helping them with. So I don't have to be there very much. And when I am there, it's real focused. Like, we're doing a fun event. We have a client event, or we have a team event, or both, you know, and a team meeting. And like, we pack a lot when I come to town. There's a lot happening, and it's real intentional. But yeah, I'm not back a whole lot. I'm here most of the time.
That's awesome, man. Well, John, I think this definitely sheds some light on folks that are thinking about, you know, growing the team. We've got a lot of, you know, team leaders and people trying to grow teams that are listening to the podcast. There's definitely a lot of insights there. I love the systems you've put in place, and how you talk about, you know, what needs to be done, how you find those problems, the leadership. That's awesome. And congrats on all the growth so far and the growth, man. It's been awesome working with you and meeting you so far. And definitely know a lot of good things to come from here, for sure.
Yeah. So thanks, you guys too. Congrats on all you've done. And it's been great partnering with you, and the feedback I get from the people I send your way as agents, they're just have a great experience. And so, way to go. Keep up the good work. It's a lot of fun to get to be, you know, to have the same name, brokerage name on the door as people like you, adds a lot of credibility to what I'm doing. And so thanks for all the great work you're doing. And yeah, I'm happy to help if people, I've got a lot of resources on our website, johnglutch.com, which Glutch is G-L-U-C-H, no T in there, just G-L-U-C-H. A lot of free videos and courses and all kind of stuff I've got on there to help agents. Or there's even a button where if people want to just schedule an appointment and have questions about any of the stuff I talked about today, you can book a little 30-minute call. And I love chatting with people and helping out. So johnglutch.com would be a good place for people to say hey or reach out with any questions.
That's awesome, man. So johnglutch.com, guys, and we will link to that in the notes with the show as well. So John, again, thank you for joining us. Keith, you want to?
Yeah, and as always, guys, any questions you guys have, please feel free to reach out, questions@kpeliteaz.com. We'd love to answer all that stuff for you, and continue to give us great reviews, guys. We'd love to hear your feedback so we can continue to grow and bring you guys great insights like this. So again, John, appreciate your time. And we look forward to seeing you soon and talking to you guys soon.
All right, we'll see you guys. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Bye.